Post-truth, fake news, alternative facts. They're phrases that we are all too familiar with. None of this is particularly new. People have always manipulated truth and given their own alternative facts. We generally call this lying. The thing that strikes us today is how open and how brazen some are. In 2016, post-truth was the Oxford Dictionary's word of the year. The publishers noted that while post-truth had been spoken about for a decade before, all of a sudden its use had spiked around the Brexit referendum in the UK and the presidential elections in the USA. And the assumption that goes with this idea of post-truth is that truth is then set aside, not really needed, or that someone is bringing something else in that they want to say. Fake news has become so prevalent that companies like Facebook and Google are caught up in a quandary. What do we do about this? How do we judge what is fake news? What is free speech? In Germany, in this past week or so, it was announced that they are looking at bringing in big fines for companies that don't remove fake news from their websites. While many others in this world are looking at the problem and suggesting it's so widespread that even these greatly resourced companies will not be able to deal with it. I was interested in an interview on BBC Radio this week with Tim Berners-Lee, the inventor of the World Wide Web, who now has concerns about how his invention is being used. He said that 20 years ago he felt quite optimistic, that all was needed was an open network, and that humans will do wonderful things with it. But this year, he said, now it's clear we need to look at how it's being used. He said, fake things tend to propagate more than truth. And that's what caught my attention in the interview. Fake things tend to propagate more than truth. And he went on to say, in some cases, hatred tends to propagate more than love. And I wonder what you have thought about this fake news, alternative facts, as you have heard some of these things related in the news, perhaps seen some of them on Facebook or other social media, perhaps had conversations among your friends or family about this. And I wonder what happens when truth just becomes lost in a tangle of lies and alternative facts where it's not valued and it's been left behind so much that no longer can it really be recognized. We may ask, why is truth important and does it really matter? Well, without truth, there can be no justice. Without truth, there can be no trust between people, between neighbors, between nations. We see this played out on the world stage. The United States and Russia, their relationships at a low ebb. They're both saying different things and only one can be right. When truth is absent, corruption can thrive. In the absence of truth, the powerful do whatever suits them. Without truth, the fabric of society begins to unravel, soon torn and divided. Where there is no adherence to truth, then there's no accountability. And when truth is discounted, anarchy reigns. Unity crumbles. Because truth really does matter. On Good Friday, truth was on trial in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus made it clear that truth mattered. His manner of speech underlined this as he so often said, I tell you the truth. Or as older translations have it, truly, truly, I say to you. Jesus constantly making statements of truth. And the things that he said had the ring of truth because they were true. Not only did he speak truth, he claimed to be the truth. At one point saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John reminds us, as he writes, that Jesus is the embodiment of truth. He said the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And at his trial before Pilate, truth again becomes an issue. And Jesus claims, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came to the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. It's not surprising that truth is the issue here, because truth was central to the person and teaching of Jesus. Truth, there was no charge to bring against him. He was there on trumped up charges. We read in Matthew's Gospel that the authorities wanted to find false evidence to use against him to put him to death. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for this evidence. But they could find nothing that would enable them to put him to death. And they could not find any of this, even though many false witnesses came forward. How frustrating it must have been for the authorities. So many people saying so much, yet none of it coherent enough or serious enough or close enough to the truth to form a charge they could use against Jesus. Mark's Gospel simply states their testimonies did not agree. They couldn't get their story straight. Their lies were tying them in knots. They were tripping over each other's stories so that none of them made sense. You see, it's hard to frame a person who is honest, who has acted with integrity, who has worked out his ministry so openly that everyone could see and hear what he was saying. And so practically any false accusation brought against him just would not stand up in court, not even in this crooked and biased court. This was fake news and alternative facts. And this court wasn't interested in the truth because truth was not on their side. Truth was with Jesus. And you get the sense as they look for these charges, they're not having a lot of luck. So where's Judas? The betrayer, the snitch that they had paid for. Why isn't he there to be able to say something when they're so pressed to find anyone who could speak clearly against Jesus? Where is Judas in this? And then finally, and much to their relief, two witnesses came forward and declared, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Which, of course, is a distortion of what Jesus had said. But it was near enough, and so they brought a charge. It was the best they had heard so far. These twisted lies made it seem like Jesus had blasphemed against God. And when Jesus truthfully answered that he was the Messiah, that was also taken as blasphemy. I find it ironic that the chief priest would then say, why do we need any more witnesses? When in fact they had no witnesses. And those that they had were false witnesses. The only witness they had was Jesus, who spoke to them a truth that they could not bear to hear and that they did not want to accept. They were more interested in expediency rather than truth. And so they were willing to listen to lie after lie after lie until they found one they thought they could use. Lies and hypocrisy, hatred and jealousy, pride and deception, injustice and vindictiveness was ruling and in their hearts and gripping their hearts. And Jesus' claims of truth challenged them and threatened them. And they found themselves opposed to Jesus, and with a chance to dispose of him, they went to the extremes of lying to try and press home an advantage. To me, the lowest point in the history of Israel came when Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests replied, "We have no king. We have no king but Caesar." And this is a rejection of God, a rejection of his anointed son. And to preserve their position as leaders, they were willing to defy and deny their faith and to give allegiance to the emperor of Rome. How cowardly and how hypocritical was this? And yet we shouldn't be surprised, because Jesus had said about them, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires." He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. "Yet I tell you the truth, and you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me?" They were more willing to believe lies and to embrace fake reports of false witnesses than to believe the truth in the person and the teaching of Jesus. And so they condemned him and they took him to Pilate. And Pilate asks him, "What is truth?" Pilate doesn't know what to do with truth. He wouldn't recognize it if it stood before him. And clearly Pilate is in this jaded state, this being a skeptical politician who had long since given up on the truth. He knew the Jewish leaders weren't telling the truth. It was said of him, for he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. The Jewish leaders didn't fool him with their pious pretensions of caring about public order and handing over Jesus, a troublemaker, they said, who was stirring up rebellion, when they knew this was not true. Pilate saw right through them but didn't care. I can't quite figure Pilate out. I'm not sure if he was really interested in setting Jesus free, if he was just pulling the strings of these Jewish leaders who he knew were trying to manipulate him, and so he was doing the same back to them, or if he was just generally disinterested in all of this. His curt, dismissive answer to Jesus, "What is truth?" reveals he's not interested in the truth, not in the truth that Jesus represents and embodies. One writer said of this, and some of you may have read this, "What is truth may be one of the most debated questions in philosophy." But Pilate didn't want an answer. He just wanted a quick end to this whole encounter. He'd possibly been at debates about the nature of truth, things that went round and round in circles with no helpful conclusion. And he wasn't in the mood to have such a discussion with Jesus at this time. If everyone has their own version of truth, and we each say, "What is true for you is true for you, what is true for me is true for me," then how can anyone ever find truth? Paul speaks of such discussion, such people, as always learning, never able to acknowledge the truth. Neither Pilate nor the Jewish leaders were able to acknowledge the truth that was in Jesus. Truth is the first casualty in Jesus' trial. He was arrested in darkness, and darkness hung over everything that followed. The Jewish leaders abandoned truth. Pilate shrugged off the truth. Neither of them interested in the truth of Jesus, and so his fate was sealed, and he was given over to suffer and be crucified. So what difference does it make to us? By any biblical measure, truth is important. Jesus came full of truth and grace. He embodied truth, and him is absolute truth. What he said and taught was true. His promises are true. Jesus, the truest of truth, the purest, the eternal truth, the Son of God, God of whom the psalmist says is the God of truth, and who Jeremiah says is God who looks for truth, and who David said, "Surely you desire truth in the inner parts." And one Bible translates, "God, what you are after is truth from the inside out." Truth that Jesus promised to send in the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Truth, an attribute of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Truth that is foundational. core value, central to the person and being of God. Sadly, today, the truth is again being sidelined, just as Pilate and the Jewish leaders sidelined it on this first Good Friday. Today, in the world of Trump and Assad and Putin and others, truth is often abandoned for alternative facts and fake news. And the people in authority aren't embarrassed by this. It appears they revel in it. They keep repeating it. They take it for granted. This is the way things are done now. But we shouldn't think that alternative facts and fake news are limited to world leaders. If we call these what they've always been known as for centuries, lies and falsehoods, then we know we are guilty of these things in our own lives. Perhaps a CV we give to someone that isn't quite accurate. Maybe a bit of gossip. We know it's not true, but it's a good story, so we spread it around. Maybe something we just press like and share on social media, even though we doubt its truth. As Christians, we must be on the side of truth and uphold truth. God says to us through John the Elder, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." So we mustn't sideline it or put it in the too hard basket. Today, as we think about Jesus' trial and his death on the cross, let's acknowledge the truth that Jesus died for us. And as followers of Jesus, let us seek truth and speak truth and live in the light of truth. And so let us be people of truth, children of our Heavenly Father, the God of truth, followers of Jesus Christ, the Lord of truth, and filled with the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Tato ifoma, tatalo ileatua. Let us pray. O Lord, you who are truth to the very core of your being, stood for us in a court of lies, stood accused, threatened for us, suffering for us. And yet, Lord, we know that as this weekend goes on, we will come to a point and a time when we remember and see that your truth prevails. For your promise that you would rise comes true. But on this day we wait. And we think of your cross. Amen.